morning, LifePoint Church. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. A lot of mumbles. That's okay. That's cool. It's early. All right. Well, thank you all so much for being here today. We're excited to have you be a part of LifePoint Church, do life with us, and hang out. We're really excited to have you here. My name's Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here. And again, like I said, we're just stoked to have you here. So today, we're going to be continuing on a message series that we started last week called Now. And in this message series, what we're doing is we're looking at this very, very short book of the Bible found in towards the end of the Old Testament called Haggai. And it's like I said, it's a very short book. It's only two chapters, which, you know, I did because I don't like to read much. So that works out perfect for me. It's two chapters, but it's packed full of wisdom. I mean, it's packed full of just real life things that we can apply. And it's just a very, very powerful book that I think many times just kind of gets skipped over. You know, if I gave most of you all the Bible right now and said, hey, where's Haggai? You'd probably you'd freeze up a little bit. Maybe not. Maybe you used to do like the sword drills back in Sunday school days like I did where, you know, you'd want to find it real quick. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just don't worry about it. It's not really that important. Anyways, but we're looking at this book, and I'm really excited about the message today because I think it's really going to speak to you. I know it speaks to me. There's a lot of times in our life where life gets chaotic and life gets busy, or things don't go according to plan or according to our plan, and the result is we become incredibly discouraged. We get really discouraged. And what we're going to see in this passage that we're going to look at today is we're going to see how to break free from that, how we can get out of that cycle of discouragement in our life and begin to move forward. So as we kick this thing off today in week two, I'm going to give you a little bit of the backstory again. If you weren't here last week, I'm going to cover everything real quick. And we'll go from there, and then we'll jump into our scripture for today. So last week we began looking at in Haggai, and we looked at King Solomon. Right, he built this incredible temple, right, this beautiful temple. I mean, it was incredible, the most beautiful temple ever. You know, and people would travel from all over just to come and worship God there and offer praise to Him, and honestly, just to see it. I mean, it was a sight. I mean, it was incredible, but unfortunately, what we see is that after King Solomon died, that the people began to turn their hearts away from God. They got distracted, right? They got distracted and they started worshiping these false gods and these false idols. And so they were distracted. And so God allowed this series of events to take place to help turn the people back to Him. So in 587 BC, under King Nebuchadnezzar, we see that the Babylonian army came in and completely destroyed the southern kingdom of Judah, right? So they just wiped out the whole city. I mean, they just took them out. And they even took it a step further, and they destroyed this beautiful temple. I mean, they just destroyed it. The house where God dwelt was no more. Thus, it stripped the identity of the Jewish people, their spiritual identity, because that's what they were about. So it stripped that from them. It was kind of like insult to injury, right? We're gonna take you out. We're gonna take your city out, but we're also gonna destroy your temple. I mean, it was just kind of that extra slap in the face. And then the Jewish people were in captivity for 50 plus years. You know, so they entered into this time in their history that was just dark, right? It was just hopeless. It just despair kind of consumed them. But then they got this like little glimmer of hope, right? Because they were allowed 50,000 people to go back to their hometown and start to rebuild their city. And they were jazzed about this. So they had that glimmer of hope. So that 50,000 went back, and their first priority when they got back was to start to rebuild the temple. I mean, that was their first priority, to rebuild the temple. And so they got to the place and they started to build, and they completed the foundation. They completed the altar. But that's when they were faced with opposition, right? That's when people started talking. They started to get some opposition, and they did exactly what so many of us do sometimes when we're faced with opposition in our life, is we just freeze up, and then we give up. We just quit, because it's easier to quit than to keep pressing on in the face of opposition. And then so for 14 years, we had the foundation and the altar and nothing else. They just stopped They were in captivity for 50 years, and all they wanted to do was get back and rebuild. And they had the chance to do that, but because of some opposition, they stopped. So that's when God raises up the prophet Haggai to call the people back to rebuilding the temple. See, while they said, you know, it's not yet time to rebuild because we're getting all this opposition, Haggai was like, no, God says the time is now, right? Now is the time to rebuild. As we talked about last week, now is the time to choose the hard right over the easy wrong, right? Now is the time. So let's go ahead and pick up our story in Haggai chapter 1. We're going to start off reading verses 13 and 14. And like I said, my hope and my prayer for this message today is that if you find yourself in a season of discouragement, that my prayer is that this will be an encouragement to you, that it'll help you break free from those chains of discouragement, because they can be so overwhelming, so just all-consuming. And I want you to be free. God wants you to be free of that. He doesn't want you to be stuck on the sidelines because you're all in your head and you're discouraged. He wants you to be set free to do the things that he called and created you to do. So Haggai chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. It says, I am with you, declares the Lord. Just right there, I am with you. It's like the greatest news that they could ever hear. God says that to you, that he is with you. That should be the greatest news that you have, that he is with you. He says, I am with you. And we're going to kind of tuck that away for a moment. We'll come back to it in a little bit. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, you're welcome, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. So this is what we see. We see that God is stirring the spirit of the governor, of the high priest, and stirring the spirit of all the people. He's stirring within them what they need to do. And see, this is the exact same thing that God does to us. He stirs within us what we're created to do, what we're supposed to do, what the hard right is. He stirs those things up in us, and he gives us the hope and the encouragement to actually do it. He does. See, he stirs those things in us, and that's what he's doing with the people of Judah. He's given them the faith and the confidence and the mission that they need to start now. They need to rebuild this temple. They need to get at it. Right? He's stirring this into their hearts. And they're like, you know what? We're supposed to rebuild this temple. Like, God has stirred this in us. So let's go. Like, let's get it. We can do this. I mean, they are ready. And seeing if you're a follower of Christ, you're going to experience this same thing. There's going to be those times where just something just pops into your head, or you just feel like led to do this. Whether it be something simple and small or something, you know, a new direction for the rest of your life. But he's going to stir these things in your heart. And you're going to be like, man, I know that God is leading me to do this. He wants me to do this. And you feel that because he's stirring it within your heart. He places those things. And then he gives you the faith and the encouragement and the confidence and the hope to do that. He stirs that within you. So God stirs the spirit of the governor and the high priest and all the people. And this is what happens. In verse 14, it says, then they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. So he stirs it in them, encourages them, gives them the hope and the strength to do it, and they start to do it, right? They start to rebuild again. They get back at it. But it's not but a month later, we see that they pump the brakes again, right? They begin to get discouraged. Just a month later, God stirs this in their heart. They get building, and then they get discouraged because as they're rebuilding this temple, they're looking at it and they're like, man, this is so inferior to what King Solomon built. Like, they're looking at what they're doing and they're just discouraged because it's inferior to what was in place before that. I mean, here they were, they're like, let's get it, let's go, like, we can do this, let's get busy. And they do, and then quickly it turns to discouragement. When they're at the Feast of the Tabernacle, they're all kind of gathered around and they're looking at this and they're just like, man, do y'all remember what it was like? You remember what Solomon's temple was like? Look at this mess. Look at it. It's just not the same. And then they get more discouraged and more discouraged and more discouraged. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Like in your own life, does that sound familiar? I mean, how many of you would say and be perfectly honest that at some point in time in your life that you've experienced that exact same thing where God stirred something in you, or just you knew you were supposed to do something, you were stoked about it, and you knew that you could do it, and you were ready to go, and you started on it, and you were going 100 miles an hour at it, and then all of a sudden you got in your head or something happened, and then you just got discouraged, and then just so you just gave up. I mean, how many of y'all have been there? I know I have. Far too many times, right? See, he gives us those. He stirs that within us. But then we allow other factors to creep in, and then we get discouraged, and then we quit. A very simple example in my own life is reading books for me. Like I said, that's why I like Haggai. It's two chapters. It's easy. But I get really excited. Like, I'm like, you know what? There's this new book out, and I've heard so many great things about this leadership book or whatever it is, and I'm stoked off it, and I start to read it, and I spend, like, you know, some good time reading it, and I'm like, man, this book is good. I'm highlighting, you know, just to death. I'm just going to work. And I do that for, like, 2 or 3 days, and then, like, I'm done. Then I get, like, I don't know, I get distracted with something else. You know, work gets real busy or whatever it is, and then I just don't know. I've read the first, like, 3 chapters of so many books, it's ridiculous. I don't know how they end. Don't know anything else about it, but those first 3 chapters, I'm on it. You know, I'm reading a book. I think I've been reading it for, like, 4 years. I'm almost done. I'm on the last chapter. I'm real excited, and it's not a big book. But, I mean, but it's the way it is. I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. There's this book. I'm excited about it. And then something happens, and I get distracted. And then I get discouraged. And then when I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back and read it. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to start over. I don't even know what it's about. And I get discouraged and I just quit and I just don't do it. Right? It just happens to all of us. To some degree, we find ourselves in that spot. Like, we're like, we can attack this. We can do this. We got this. And then a month later, discouragement sets in and it starts to fizzle out. It's just where we're at. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe for you, it's that, you know, you've got like these big plans of getting out of debt. Like you are ready to get out of debt, and you're focused on it, and you're moving on it, and then all of a sudden the AC in your house goes out, and then you're just like, oh, like I'm trying, and now it's piling up even more, and you just get discouraged, and you just quit. Or maybe it's with your relationship with God. You're like, you know what? I know I need to get into the Word more. I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to study, or I need to listen to the Bible, or I need to do these things, and so you get at it. Right, and you're excited, and God's speaking to you, and he's revealing things, and it's incredible. It's better than you could have ever imagined. And then all of a sudden, your work and family schedule, like, just clash, and, you know, then it just, everything blows up in your face, and you're super busy for a month, and you put your reading off or listening or praying off a day, and then another day, and another day, and then you go a few weeks without it. And so then when you go to get back into it, you're like, man, I can't even go. I couldn't even go a month. You know, how pathetic. I mean, how pathetic is that? I couldn't even go a month doing that. And then you get discouraged. And you just give up. Like, we fall into that trap. And that's exactly what happened to the people of God. They were on it, man. They were ready to rebuild. And then they quickly got discouraged when it didn't go the way they expected. When it didn't look the way they thought it would look. When it wasn't going the way that they wanted it to go. But see, this is where God raises up Haggai again to deliver his second message to the people. And it was a very loving yet very direct message that almost seems as if God is trying to, like, reveal to them the root of their discouragement. Like, why they're discouraged. To help them to see, not just to say, stop, don't be discouraged, but let me show you why you're discouraged. And we're going to see from this scripture that there's two reasons that we find that they were discouraged. And it's the same two reasons that many of us get discouraged. So Haggai chapter 2, verse 3, on behalf of God, he asks the people this. He says, who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Like, he's asking those people, like, do you remember, you know, are you old enough to remember what it looked like 50 years ago before it was destroyed? 60 years ago? Do you remember what it looked like? Now, what does this look like? You know, he's trying to help them to see where this discouragement is coming from. And we see from this, like I said, two primary causes of discouragement. I want to share these with you today, and I want you to really be honest with yourself and look to see which one of these leads to your discouragement, or if both do. So the first thing that we see is that we become discouraged based off comparisons, right? Comparisons. And the second thing is a lack of progress. See, from this scripture, that's where these folks were. They found that they were very discouraged because of both comparison and lack of progress. And it was because they were comparing their start to someone else's finish. Right? I mean, we do that all the time. They were comparing their rebuild, like the start of their rebuild, to Solomon's finished build, his finished product that was incredible. And they're comparing those things, and it's, you can't do that. You can't compare that. But yet, that's why they were doing it, and it was leading to just incredible discouragement, leading them to just give up, to quit. And I don't know about you all, but the majority of the time for me when I get discouraged, the majority of the time, it's because of comparison. It's because I start comparing where I'm at or where I'm not at to where other people are. And I get fixated on that. And I start comparing. Even if I say, no, I don't, I do. I just, it's natural. I see this and I want to be there, or I should be there, or this or that. And you start comparing. And it leads to discouragement. Maybe this is the same for you. Maybe you're like, you know what? Man, he's got this high-profile job, this high-paying job, and he's got this nice car. You know, he's got this big house. He gets to travel all over the U.S. for his work. I mean, he's got it made. But me? Man, I hate my dead-end job, right? It's low-paying. I just hate it. I'm stuck in a cubicle or whatever it might be all day long. And my 10-year-old car, man, it rides and runs like crap, looks like crap. I hate it. It's just no fun. It's no good. It's not flashy. And I rent like a really small house in a terrible part of town. And you just start comparing. You compare all those things, and it leaves you discouraged. Or maybe for you, it's that, you know, you're like, well, she's just got that look. You know, I mean, she's got that look that everyone wants. She's got that body that everyone wants. And you know, and she's just so put together all the time. And her house is always spotless, you know, or her kids, you know, their hair is always done to perfection, you know, and their clothes always match perfectly. And but me, you know, I'm constantly just, I feel gross and overweight most of the time. I just, you know, you could considered like plain Jane, you know, just whatever. And, you know, my kid's hair is either in a ponytail or wearing a hat just because I don't have time to deal with it. And as far as matching, I just hope they have the same shoes on, you know, when they walk out the door, let alone their shorts and their shirt match. And I'm just, you know, running around. My house is always a disaster. You start comparing. You start to feel less than. You start to feel like something's not right. And you get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, you're not focused on what you're supposed to do, on what God has called you to do. You get sidelined and you're ineffective. It's discouragement. It creeps in and it destroys. And this is exactly what happened to the people of Judah. I mean, they're gathered around, they're like, look at what we're doing. It's pathetic compared to what Solomon had. It's pathetic. And they just quit. They got discouraged. But see, there's also the lack of progress, right? The lack of progress. They're like, man, we're a month into this build, and this is all we got? This is it? Like, and then they get discouraged. They start to quit. Maybe for you, it's like, you know what? I'm going to diet. I'm going to get my life together. I'm going to get healthy, or whatever you want to call it. But that's my goal, and I want to lose, you know, shed some pounds, and it's going to be great. And so you're focused on it. I mean, you are disciplined. You're in the gym like 4 days a week. You're eating healthiest you've ever, you know, eaten in your life. You know, all you drink is water, and, you know, and you're on it. And you're stoked. And a month later, you step on the scale, and you're like, this is going to be like the big reveal. Like, you know, biggest loser going on kind of thing. And you step on the scale, and you've lost 2 pounds. And you're like, what's going on? Like, I did all this work, You know, I meal prepped like crazy. You know, I ate super healthy for what? For 2 freaking pounds? Like, what's going on? You get discouraged. So you just say, forget it. Bring on the pie. Let's get it. And I'll quit. If it's just 2 pounds, man, I'll eat some pie. All right, or maybe you start a business, or you're putting in that extra work, those long hours to go out for this promotion that you want. Man, you're really grinding at it, and you're working hard, but it seems like it's always, you know, like 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. And it leads to discouragement. Or maybe it's a lack of spiritual progress, right? Like you come to church every week, and you're trying to study, you're getting in the Word, and you're doing these things, but you would think by now, you know, I wouldn't have these same doubts that I have, or these fears, or these questions. Or I thought by now I would have overcome this sin in my life, or this addiction in my life, and I just like, then what's the point? You're thinking of lack of progress, this perceived lack of progress, and it's discouraging. Or maybe it's in your marriage. You're like giving your marriage or your relationship everything you got. You know it's in trouble, but you're giving it everything. You're bending over backwards to make this better, but you know your partner is just kind of like whatever. They're not engaged. They're not helping. They're not putting anything else in either, and you're not seeing the progress that you want to see. So you get discouraged, and then you say, "Why work for it?" And you throw in the towel. See, we have this perceived lack of progress, and it leads to discouragement. And I don't know what it is for you, but it could be any number of things. Like for me, it's both. It's a combination of both. I have, like, I constantly am comparing when I shouldn't, but I do. And I always feel like I should have made more progress than I have because I'm a perfectionist. It's a good and a terrible quality. But I constantly live in a state of discouragement that I have to battle and I have to fight. I'm just being as honest as I can. I mean, that is something that I'm constantly in that place. I constantly feel like, man, I'm discouraged because I'm not as good of a pastor as I should be. I'm not doing the things that I should be doing here at LifePoint. I should be doing more. And then I feel the same way as a father. Like, I should be spending more time with my kids, you know, but because I've worked so much for this and this, I'm just exhausted and I want to space out. Then I feel like a terrible father, or the same thing. I feel like a terrible husband from time to time, or whatever it may be. And because of I'm comparing myself, or a lack of progress of where I think I should be. And I have to constantly battle that discouragement in my life. And I don't tell you that so that you'll like feel sorry for me and be like, oh, poor Andy, or anything like that. I don't say that. I say that because I want you to know that we're in this together. I mean, this isn't about, you know, me sitting up here and telling you what you need to do because of X, Y, and Z, and that you shouldn't be discouraged because of this. I'm saying, no, we're in this together. We all find ourselves in this place from time to time where we allow this comparison, right, or this lack of progress to get us discouraged. We live in this state of discouragement, and because of it, we're sidelined. We're miserable. We're hopeless. We think false things about us or about other people because of it. So with that being said, what do we do? Like, how do we combat this? How do we get over this hump of discouragement in our life? Like, when that creeps in and we're constantly living in that state, what do we do? Well, what I want to do is I want to show you what God tells his people to do when they were in this position. I mean, see, we can make up things all day long, but it's right there in Scripture for us. I mean, there's a roadmap right there for us to use. And it's exactly what he tells his people to do when they were discouraged, when they were looking at their build and they just stopped building because of their discouragement. They just quit because it wasn't as good as Solomon's, or they didn't make the progress that they wanted. This is what he told them to do. And what I love about it is it's so simple. Like, he breaks it down so simply for them. And it shows how loving he is. He's not going to make this super complicated for us. I mean, he loves you. He doesn't want you to live in discouragement. He wants you to be free in him. So he gives us these simple steps. So when we find ourselves discouraged because of this comparison or this perceived lack of progress, just like these people did. We see that at this time, that's when God speaks through Haggai. He first speaks to the governor. That's where he goes first, to the governor, right? And then to the high priest, and then to the people. And he delivers the same instructions, same simple instructions to all three of them. And it's the same instructions that we need to apply in our lives in order to get over this discouragement. So Haggai chapter 2, we'll read verse 4. And it says, "But now be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, declares the Lord." Right? Be strong. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. He says, "Be strong, all you people of the land," declares the Lord. He's telling them to be strong. Step one, just be strong. And then he says, and work. So be strong and work. Pretty simple, right? Be strong and work. And how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? How can we actually do that? And he finishes up by saying, "For I am with you. For I'm with you." Be strong and work, and you can do those two simple things because I'm with you, because I got your back. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff. You don't have to compare. You don't have to worry about lack of progress. Just be strong and work, and know that I'm with you. He gives us those steps because he loves us. So that's what we do when we're discouraged. When you find yourself discouraged, just dig in. Be strong. Do work. Be strong and do work. I mean, that's a model to live by right there. I mean, that's simple. Be strong and do work. Don't just sit there comparing yourself to other people. No, you're just going to be strong and do work. Don't sit there and worry and stress about your lack of progress or perceived lack of progress. Just be strong. Do work. That's what we're got to do. That's how we're going to overcome that discouragement in our life. And to me, the greatest truth in this passage is not that it's simple for us to, you know, just to accomplish this and get over that discouragement about being strong and doing the work, but it's the fact that he's with us, right? It says that, "For I am with you." So we're not to be strong in our own power, but we're to be strong in his power, in his strength, working in and through us. If you have a relationship with him, if you've confessed and believed, he lives within you. He is operating through you. And you can tap into that power. He will give you the strength. He'll give you the strength to continue on and to do the work. See, this is our confidence. This is our encouragement and our hope that he is with us. And because of that fact, we know that we can be strong and we can do work. You see, while we're reading this out of the Old Testament, we live in New Testament times, right? And the New Testament tells us that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is made perfect. It's perfected in your weakness, in my weakness. When we can't get it done, he can. And we have to tap into that. So when we can't be strong because we're discouraged, he can be strong through us. And when he gives us that strength, we keep going. We dig in and we do the work. We can do that through him, not through our own power, not through anything that we could ever do, but through his power. We're to be strong and we're to do the work. We can be strong in his power, but we've got to do the work. Notice that it doesn't say to be strong and talk the talk. Like, talk a good game. No, it says be strong and do work. It doesn't say dream the dream and have these, you know, thoughts and ideas. That's all great, but do the work. Right? Don't compare the results. God, I'm terrible at that. Like, I want to know the end result up front and so that I can maybe manipulate that or tweak it or make it better. No, don't worry about the end results. You just do the work. Be strong and do the work. You start building. Right? That's what they were to do. Lay one stone. Lay another stone. Do the work. Well, but I'm doing that. I've laid a few and I'm not getting anywhere. No, just do the work. Be strong. Do the work. Don't worry about the results. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. God has stirred something in you. You just be strong and do what it is that he told you to do. Be strong and do the work. Be strong and consistently do what he told you to do last. Consistently do the right thing, right? Consistently choose the hard right over the easy wrong. See, giving up is easy. That's a piece of cake. Anybody can do that. But not everybody can be strong and do the work. And that's what we're called to do. In the face of opposition, be strong and do work. That's what we got to do. If you want to overcome that in your life, you've got to be strong and do the work. So be strong and keep praying, right? If that's where you're at, be strong and keep praying. Be strong and keep digging into his word, right? Be strong and keep doing the right thing. Loving those people that may be unlovable. Be strong and continue to invest time into your marriage, even if someone else isn't, the other person isn't. Be strong and invest. Be strong and bring your best to work. Be strong and be honoring to your boss, even if they're not worthy of honor. Doesn't matter. That's what you're called to do. Be strong and do work. Be strong and reach out to that person that you don't think it keeps kind of pushing you away. No, be strong and continue to reach out. Be strong and continue to pray for your kids. And be there for them and stand up for them, even when they don't stand for or do the things that you believe in. Continue to stand strong for them. Be strong and do work. Don't give up. Be strong, do the work. And that's what I'm doing. I mean, when I am faced with that discouragement, man, I've got to focus on this. I have to be strong, and I have to focus on doing the work. Because if not, man, I get sidetracked real quick, and then I spiral into a place that's no good for anybody. I have to be strong and do the work. And that's what I'm going to commit to do. Not through my own strength, because when I do that, I'm going to fail every single time. But through his strength, through him living through me with his guidance and his strength and his love, I can be strong, and I can do the work. It's because he's with me every step of the way. And it's the same thing for you. You can overcome that discouragement in your life, whether it be from comparison or lack of progress or a combination of both or some other factors that's leading you to discouragement. You can overcome that with Christ, with his love, with his mercy, with his grace, with his strength. You can be strong and do the work. You can do the things that he has stirred in your heart. Again, in the face of opposition, in the face of people telling you that you shouldn't do that, or you can't do that, or what are you thinking, or why would you do this, and why would you do that? If he has stirred that in your heart, you be strong, and you do the work. And you can do that through him. And when you do that, I promise you, you're never going to regret it. You'll never regret it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says this. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. In other words, don't become weary in doing the work, right? It says, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Be strong and do the work. Say it just over and over and over again. You need to say that to yourself over and over and over again when that discouragement comes and seeps in. Be strong and do the work. And you can do that because he says, for I am with you. You see, if you have that relationship with him, you need to understand that you are absolutely never alone. Even if you feel alone, even if you feel like no one's there for you, if you have Christ, you are never alone. Therefore, you never have to be discouraged. You don't have to give into that. You don't have to buy that lie. You don't have to play into that because you are never alone. He is always going to be with you. Scripture says that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I mean, he's got your back through and through. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter if you screw up or what you did yesterday, last night, or even this morning. Doesn't matter. He's with you. He's got your back. And because of that, we don't have to buy the lie of discouragement. He says, for I am with you, declares the Lord. And he says, let us not become weary in doing good. Don't become weary in doing the work. Even if your comparison doesn't match up to someone else's finish. Lack of progress. Don't worry about that. Don't become weary in doing the work. For at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. If you stay the course. If you keep grinding when it's difficult. Stay strong and do the work. And ultimately, I want you to remember that God came for you, right? He came for you. He made a way for you to be made right with him. He gave the ultimate sacrifice through his son. And he didn't do that just so that you could be discouraged, live a life of discouragement. I mean, if that was the case, then what's the point? No, he came to you because he loves you. He wants you to be set free. And you don't have to live in discouragement. You can be strong and you can do the work. And I promise you, when you do that, you won't regret it. And in due time, you will reap that harvest if you stay the course. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much for your love. And your mercy and your grace, God, that you just pour out on us, God. And we don't deserve it. God, we don't deserve that freedom. We don't deserve the things that you bless us with, God. But we're so incredibly thankful that you love us that much. God, I thank you for the truth that we read in your word, God, that we can be set free. That we can know you and have a relationship with you. And God, that we don't have to give into the lies of discouragement. The lies that come before us that we're not good enough. God, that we're incapable or that we're compared to someone else, we're less than. Or that what we're doing doesn't matter or it's not making a difference and there's no progress. God, that we don't have to buy that lie, God, but that we can continue to be strong and do the work that you've stirred in our hearts, God. And may we focus on that today, God. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith for whatever reason. You've kind of kept God at arm's distance, at arm's length. Maybe it's because of discouragement. Maybe you feel like, you know, when you're trying to compare yourself to other people, you don't feel that you're good enough. Newsflash is, you're not. But God is good enough. And what he did for you in that sacrifice is sufficient to cover all sin, all screw-ups, all failures. It's sufficient. Or maybe it's because you're pushing God away because you're comparing yourself to those who claim the name of Christ that don't get it, that are hateful, that say things and judge and do all those terrible things, and because of that, you've pushed God aside. Understand that that's not who he is. I mean, he loves you. He wants nothing more than for you to come to know him in an intimate, personal way. And scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. It's confessing and believing. You don't have to get your life all together first. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do any of those things. You just confess and you believe. And from that point on, you're a new creation. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if that's you today and you're ready to step over that line of faith, man, just call out to him however he leads. Just confess and belief. Just call out to him how he leads. Maybe you're here and you are a Christ follower, but man, you've been just struggling with discouragement recently. You've been in a season in your life where you're just constantly discouraged. It seems like life keeps throwing you curveballs, and man, you're striking out. It's over and over and over again. You're just discouraged. You're comparing yourself. You're looking at where you're at in life, and you thought you'd be further than this by now, or that you would have this or that, and you're seeing this lack of your perceived progress. And man, you're just discouraged. You're miserable. Know that you don't have to stay in that place any longer. You don't. With God's strength and through Him, you can call on Him and man, ask Him for that strength, to give you the strength to keep going, to be strong and to do work. Be strong and do the things that you know to do. Like I said last week, you're only responsible for what you know. So what it is that He's stirred in you, you be strong and you do those things. And you take it one step at a time. Don't complicate it. Just call on His name, tap into His strength, and get rid of that discouragement in your life. And when it starts to creep in, because it's going to, I promise you, it's going to creep in. You shut it down. You say, no, I'm going to be strong through Christ because He's with me. I'm going to be strong and I'm going to do work. Discouragement can go somewhere else, not here. If that's you and you're discouraged, man, tap into that today. Now is the time. Not later today, not tomorrow, not the next time you're discouraged, but now. Tap into His strength to be strong and to do work. God, I pray, Lord, that You would just bless each and every person that's here this morning, God. Whatever it is, God, that they're dealing with right now, even if it has absolutely nothing to do with anything that was talked about today, God. Lord, I pray that You would speak to them. You'd speak truth over their lives. God, for those that don't know You, Lord, I pray that they would answer that call, Lord. As You're calling out to them, God, as You're seeking them, Lord, God, may they receive that gift, the gift of salvation, Lord, through confession and believing. And God, for those that are constantly living a life discouraged, Lord, may they be set free in You today. May they tap into Your strength and allow You to work in and through them to be strong and to continue to do the good work, the work that You've called and stirred within them, God. Lord, we love You. We thank You. God, I pray that You would just bless this incredible church, Lord. God, speak truth over this church, Lord. May we reach people who don't know You, God. May we be truly the church, loving and welcoming and sharing the good news about an incredible Savior. God, we love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.